the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Tuesday, April 30th. Here are the headlines. Opposition Senator Lorraine Henderson-Reed requesting government's $103.95 million from the International Development Association loan request in the absence of project financing agreement during Monday's sitting of Parliament. St. Kitts and Nevis Prime Minister Dr. Terence Drew emphasized the urgent need to tackle firearm violence as a pivotal public health concern in the Caribbean at a CAFA health research conference.
News as it happens.
And at least 45 people have died in floods in Kenya since March, with large parts of the capital Nairobi and other major towns underwater, forcing thousands of residents to leave their homes. Details coming up next.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on Q.
During Monday's parliamentary session, opposition Senator Lorraine Henderson-Reed posed several inquiries to the government, one of which pertained to the lack of a copy of the project financing agreement in their efforts to secure parliamentary resolution for the approval of a credit facility worth $103.95 million from the International Development Association. Henderson emphasized the importance of such documents as prerequisites for obtaining loans, especially in the context of the government's authorization-seeking process.
By virtue of Section 3.1 of the Loans Act, Chapter 64.5 of the 2017 Revised Laws of the Commonwealth of Dominica, the House of Assembly may, by resolution duly passed, authorize the minister responsible for finance to borrow by means of credit. Today, we will borrow a sum not exceeding $103.95 million on the following terms. The interest is really good, 0.75% per annum. The commitment charge, 0.5% per annum. The repayment period, 60 semi-annual payments twice a year, of a grace period for 10 years. So we have a little grace. 10 years is a good grace. We have a big grace. A ginormous grace. As a financial person, is a big grace. Yes. Mr. Speaker, I beg to ask this question, as in the absence of information, this is what one. Where is the copy of the project financing agreement? Every time I come, I have to ask for that. Why are we not privy to this information, which will help make an informed decision to support or provide recommendations to the resolution?
Henderson also raised doubts about the government's project plan, which is essential for demonstrating Dominica's ability to repay the loan once it is approved.
Apply for these loans, aren't we to present a business plan or a project plan with reasons for requesting financing? Aren't we to present to our lenders documents which shows that we can repay these loans? Having worked in the financial industry for some years, this is a staple request from every lender. As a borrower, you must present a project plan or a business plan to your lender. Where is the project plan which signifies that we as borrowers, we got this, as Ms. Blanchard over there said, our Honorable Blanchard, we got this, that when the loan is granted that we have the ability to pay. Mr. Speaker, the Minister for Finance in his preamble earlier informed that Domlec does not have the capacity to facilitate the level of transmission that is required at this time, nor do they have the available financing to fund this new electricity transmission network. To date, Domlec owns the current transmission system that provides power to the people. With this new electricity transmission network, Mr. Speaker, who will have ownership of the new transmission network? How does this transfer of power affect Domlec's ability to operate efficiently, reaping profits? How will this transfer of power, Mr. Speaker, affect the small shareholders of Domlec? What is the projected cost for maintenance of the new electricity transmission network that Domlec will have to pay? Where will Domlec's growth come from to meet its power supply commitments when the government has taken away Domlec's production and distribution capabilities, thereby excluding it from the management of the production it is required?
And that was opposition Senator Lorraine Henderson Reed. The Antigua and Barbuda Association of Persons with Disabilities, in collaboration with the Farmers to Farmers Group from Guyana, have established horticultural therapy in the Caribbean. These methods of therapeutic activities have proven to be extremely effective in the emotional, mental, and social well-being of persons with disabilities.
Horticulture therapy is the use of the technique of using soil for therapeutic purposes, natural resources. You know, it allow you to harness the natural elements through therapeutic on site, you know, plants. It is so beneficial that when the ABAPD heard about or was introduced to horticulture therapy by Farmers to Farmers out of Guyana through our platform, as Beverly mentioned earlier, it took off, and we were able to gain funding through the Jeff Small Grant Program. Mm-hmm. And we built a fully accessible platform, and our project is the use of climate smart technique to increase food security in Antigua and Barbuda. And we started off in 2021, and to this day, our members continue not only just to use it for therapeutic purposes, but they're growing food to feed themselves. They're growing green leafy vegetables. They're growing all sort of produce in waste beds.
The government of Antigua and Barbuda will be hosting the Seeds for Conference, and according to the United Nations, multiple high-level side events will be held in connection with the main conference. One of the major side events will be led by Circle of Friends, of which the Antigua and Barbuda Association of Persons with Disabilities will form part of the delegation. Horticulture therapy for persons with disabilities will be one of the topics to be deliberated upon. The Association Public Relations Officer Bernard Warner envisions this type of therapy growing through the seeds territories. Speaking to Q95 News on Saturday, he explained how this has affected the Antigua Association in Antigua.
And the good thing about it, everyone who comes to our sites and participate in the horticulture has shared an improving posture, improve in how they see themselves. It just gives you a whole new outlook of living. And this is therapeutic. And we enjoy it. And we promote it because horticulture therapy is the way of the future. And the ABAPD, with the support of Circle of Friends and our network, will continue to push it because we have seen the benefit. And our members have the testimony that when using horticulture therapy in an appropriate way, it can improve lives and teach people how to feed themselves.
Antigua and Barbuda Association of Persons with Disabilities Public Relations Officer Bernard Warner. As the keynote speaker at the 2024 Caribbean Association of Insurance and Financial Advice event on Monday, Commonwealth Secretary General Patricia Scotland Casey highlighted the Caribbean's historical resilience, moving from colonialism and oppression to self-governance. She stressed that safeguarding and improving democracy remains a key focus for the Commonwealth.
For centuries, the Caribbean has stood as a beacon of resilience, overcoming the shadows of colonialism and oppression to embrace the promise of self-governance. And today, the precious covenant between government and the governed, rooted in the principles of justice, equality, and representation, remains the political cornerstone. That is the testament to the resilience of the Caribbean spirit, but also the vigilance. care and attention required to protect and enhance the process, culture, and institutions of democracy. And this commitment to democracy is not only the shaping impulse of the Caribbean, it is the rhythm that beats in the heart of the Commonwealth. It is central to our charter, and it's the basis of our cooperation as 56 nations, of which 33 are small, representing 5 regions and 6 basins of the one great shared ocean. And it is the foundation of all our freedoms, our rights, our peace, and the promise of our shared prosperity. Protecting and enhancing democracy has been fundamental to the Commonwealth's priorities for decades. But we see that reality here.
Commonwealth Secretary General Patricia Scotland-Casey. The Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation has issued a public notice announcing the closure of the Fonkalee Sanitary Landfill effective Monday, April 29th. That's due to an ongoing landfill fire. During the period, the corporation advises haulers and the public to hold on to their waste until further notice, expressing deep regret. The corporation sympathizes with the affected communities, including Stockfam and Fonkalee, as well as commuters, due to discomfort caused by the smoke from the fire. Residents with respiratory issues in these areas are urged to wear disposable masks whenever possible. Efforts to combat the fire and restore normalcy are underway with the fire department, Duwasco, ODM, and other stakeholders providing essential services. Multiple evacuators, that's excavators, dump trucks, and water trucks are deployed to contain and extinguish the landfill fire. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95da.com. Financial consultant and sports enthusiast Ronald Lander is calling for greater financial investment into the following sports sub-industries. That's football, cricket, athletics, basketball, and netball. Mr. Lander says better can be done by the government to improve training facilities, increase compensation for teams and athletes, endorsement opportunities, and performance opportunities.
Shows the whole emphasis on development, on sports development, sports tourism. That's very important for us. We missed out on a very important opportunity to develop sports in Dominica. And I'm not surprised at all that nobody is contributing to that particular conference.
And that was a financial consultant and sports enthusiast Ronald Lander. Finally, in the local news, Energy Minister Vince Anderson claims Dominica is getting close to the last phase of the construction of a 20-megawatt geothermal power plant in Loda. Henderson acknowledged that Dominica has taken the longest time to develop a geothermal plant, but the time has come to complete the geothermal project.
Last December, we signed an agreement with Ormat to build a 10-megawatt plant as a first step. Our ambitions to export to Martinique and Guadeloupe have been affected because of the lack of interest of our French partners, and we are now reconsidering the opportunities and the options that are there. So when we speak about interconnecting the region and selling to power to other islands in the Caribbean, it is not something that will determine whether or not we develop a geothermal plant. We're saying that the potential is so great, and we have proven it, that we should seriously be considering exporting that power, or at least producing energy cells that can be exported. So we have learned from everybody who has done everything that we think is of value. But the truth about geothermal energy, Dominica has been pursuing this for the longest in the region. And thank God today we are getting to the point where we are getting very close to actually getting it done. But anything can happen.
Minister for Energy Vince Henderson. Meantime, former Minister of Agriculture and Environmentalist Atherton Marty questions the return on investment for the government's effort to construct a small 20-megawatt geothermal power plant, which would in the first instance only cover 50% of Dominica's energy generation capability. Dominica's peak energy requirements are 22 megawatt of electricity. Speaking on Q95 News on Monday, Marta says the amount of money spent by the government on this project has grown to a very large sum, and he is not sure whether the plant will last as long as Mr. Henderson claims. To even get any return on investment are there, as there are important factors that can quickly reduce the operational expediency of a geothermal plant. In October of 2023, Dominica has spent some US$55 million on the geothermal project. To date, the amount spent is US$92.12 million, inclusive of Parliament's approval of a loan of EC$103.95 million from the International Development Association to install transmission and distribution lines from Luda to Domlek's Fonkoli Power Station.
The best practices manual for geothermal said, even at 20 megs output, you're not going to see the benefits in terms of the cost benefits. You're not going to get value for money because of the very significant cost of investment in exploration and building other things. There are other things that he's not taking into account at all. But from a purely engineering and technical standpoint vis-a-vis geothermal, he is still, even in his utterance, not providing any assurance that there is enough power to even supply Dominica. Dominica has a peak demand of 22 megawatt. So even with three wells, and giving you 21, 22 megawatt, what power is going to be left to share with anybody else, and at what cost? Because to get the power from Dominica to Martinique or Guadeloupe, there's another major cost involved, which is the cost of building a power line.
Former Agriculture Minister and environmentalist Afatan Mate. In other news, during the 68th Annual Health Research Conference hosted by the Caribbean Public Health Agency, CAFA, in St. Lucia on April 25th, St. Kitts and Nevis Prime Minister Honorable Dr. Terence Drew delivered a poignant speech stressing the urgent need to tackle firearm violence as a significant public health challenge in the Caribbean region. Joining the Honorable Philippe Jean-Pierre, Prime Minister of St. Lucia, on a panel discussion titled Violence in the Caribbean, a Public Health Crisis, Prime Minister Drew highlighted the detrimental impact of firearm violence on Caribbean societies, citing its contribution to crime, conflict, and the erosion of law and order. Leveraging his medical background, Dr. Drew elaborated on the grave physical and psychological consequences of gun violence, particularly among young children and adolescents, posing a threat to future generations. Urging immediate action, he advocated for evidence-based strategies focusing on prevention, treatment, and rehabilitation. And Kenya's military has been mobilized to assist in the rescue efforts of victims of severe rainfall that has claimed numerous lives across East Africa in recent weeks. According to Kenya Red Cross, at least 45 fatalities have been reported in floods in Kenya since March, with 10 additional deaths recorded since April 22nd.
Collins Abondo is sting through the rubble of what was once his mother's home in Nairobi's Madare slum after deadly floods pounded East Africa. He lost 4 family members in the floods, including his mother, and says he personally retrieved their bodies from the debris.
This is exactly the place. This is
along the river in Kenya. The community expects more dams will be found as floodwaters recede. On Thursday, Kenya's military was deployed to help residents and volunteers search for loved ones. The floods have displaced more than 20,000 households, with dozens of people killed, according to the Red Cross. East Africa was hit by record floods during the last rainy season in late 2023. Scientists say climate change is causing more intense and frequent extreme weather events. Officials have warned that above normal rainfall is expected for the next week.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Opposition Senator Loreen Henderson Reed questioned the government's $103.95 million from the International Development Association loan request in the absence of project financing agreement during Monday's sitting of Parliament.
Right on cue.
St. Kitts and Nevis Prime Minister Dr. Terence Drew emphasized the urgent need to tackle fire and violence as a pivotal public health concern in the Caribbean at a CAFA Health Research Conference.
Q, top of the hour news.
And at least 45 people have died in floods in Kenya since March, with large parts of the capital Nairobi and other major towns underwater, forcing thousands of residents to leave their homes.
On Q.
I've been your presenter, Ferdis Valmond.
Top of the hour news, as it happens.